Hello, everyone. We're going to do Q&A. We're going to do it old school inside the office only because, well, as you can see, Luau had to make a grand appearance. We're going to do it in here so that I can talk to you guys a little bit before you all get settled in. I wanted to tell you guys what was going to happen next week inside the In Self-Sabotage in a Day virtual workshop. So in case you guys don't know, you are all invited May 23rd. From 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central Time, we are going to have a full-day immersion on self-sabotage. So you have your Breaking Self-Sabotage course that you're taking throughout the month that really focuses a lot more on digging deeper into your stories and, you know, doing all of your mind work. The End Self-Sabotage in a Day, I'm going to go through what it's going to be shortly, but I wanted to let you guys know kind of the difference between the two. So the course that you're doing throughout the month, you're working with me. We're doing Thursday night calls where we work through the worksheets. It has a lot more, I would say it has a lot more of the emotional component where you're learning more about understanding your stories and your feelings and stuff like that. In Ending Self-Sabotage, the virtual workshop next Saturday, that's going to be more practical. So I'll go over that stuff in just a minute. The main things you need to know as a tribe member is, number one, you are invited. It is included in your membership. So you do not need to pay. You do not need to register. You don't have to do anything. Just simply being here means you're a VIP. You get access. We are going to send you everything you need to get logged in and all the things on Wednesday of this week. So you'll get the workbook that all the people who are paying to come will get. You will get access to the actual workshop that all the people are paying to get. And when we're done, it's going to take us a couple of weeks to put all the videos together in a replay version. You will also get access to that. So if you can't come next Saturday, you do not need to worry. Just continue to do the Breaking Self-Sabotage course that we're all doing together this month. And then when we have everything together, we will add all of that to the bonus course, Breaking Self-Sabotage. And you can even go deeper if you want to. So there's that. And the other thing that I wanted to tell you guys is we have, I think, 1,200 women all over the country completing the Don't Stop Believing Today. I am wearing my shirt. Let me show you guys the backside. This was our official race shirt. The beautiful medal is in the other room. Logan and I went out and we did some miles this morning. So I've been kind of going. I got up around 5 o'clock this morning, started working on the workshop, had to stop immediately so that I could get outside and start getting my miles in and stuff. So we did a little bit of time together, and I posted a picture of me and Logan inside the Don't Stop Believing. So I hope you guys are enjoying it. And a lot of you have been asking. They got a special start line and finish line video from us. We had our video company put together a really special start and finish line video so that because 300 of them were coming to Nashville to do this race. And I will say it's kind of neat that you guys didn't get to come because, number one, the bridge that you were going to go over at mile 2.5, a tree fell on it and took the son of a bitch down. So you would have been doing a lot of back and forth, and it would have been over Smoker's Hill, which is a terrible hill. Like, you were only going to have to do it on the way out and on the way back, but you probably would have had to done it 5 times at least. So yay for that. Number two, it is freaking hot as balls here. Like, we moved the race thinking that May would be better. It's going to be 89 today. It's going to be high humidity. I was outside, and all I did was, like, walk slow with Logan, and I poured sweat. So I was sitting there thinking, oh, my God, they would be so hot today. So everything always happens for a reason. Let's just all believe in that one. And then for all of my Don't Stop Believing girls, good luck today. I always try to make, I don't care what event we do. I'm always trying to figure out every single event, how to make it a little special for everyone. So for Don't Stop Believing, we wanted to make sure that for all the people who couldn't come, that you still had your start line that was special, and you still had your finish line that was special. You're still getting your workshop with me tomorrow where you get to plan what's next for you and things. And the side benefit is everybody who signed up for the virtual got all of it included too. So there you go. So we always try to do that. For July, we're doing special things for July camp. It is still on. We have a register with confidence policy where you can register. And if for some reason we cannot have July camp, you will get refunded, and we are looking at turning it virtual. So I believe for July, this is about 80% right now. So if we can't do it for some reason, we have to check a few technical things. But just so everybody knows, we will know by June 1st. Our plan is to do July camp in person and offer a virtual option also for all of you to sign up. It will be extra. That will be extra. But if you have ever wanted to come to camp and you can't because of kids or whatever, this may be the time, because I don't think we'll ever do it this way again. But we have a few campers who are registered who may not be able to come no matter what, even if we can have it. So we're always trying to figure out ways to make things special, ways to help you guys. All right. So let's talk about in self-sabotage in a day. I want to go over the concepts that are going to be talked about so that you guys can really understand how important this is going to be to weight loss and just, you know, like ending frustration. I think one of the things that self-sabotage does is it is one of the most frustrating things that ever happens, because you really want to lose weight, but you're also doing things that you really want to in the moment. And one of the things that I think that we forget is that just because you want to lose weight really bad, and this is where I think a lot of us get so frustrated, is we think, oh my God, there must be something wrong with me because I really want to lose weight, but in the moment, I don't want to do the things that's required. That's where self-sabotage comes in, and it is frustrating. But one of the things that I'm going to be teaching a lot of is just how your brain works, so that you can really like step back from it being, I'm broken, must be something wrong with me, very confused as to what's going on. Before you can even come up with new things to do to stop sabotaging yourself with food, to stop sabotaging yourself with half-ass eating and half-ass planning and stuff, you really have to understand that your brain works a certain way. And when you have a really good understanding of how the brain works, there is a bit of relief that is created, because now you understand why I'm so disconnected. Now I understand why I can really want to lose weight, but not necessarily want to do the things in the moment. And when you understand that part, then you know how to go to work on fixing things, on re-engineering things, on redefining things. So in the very first part, we're going to go over three main concepts around your brain. One, you're going to get a deeper understanding of that conscious brain versus your unconscious brain. It is really important, in order to end self-sabotage with food, to, I guess, give as much respect to how powerful the habit brain is. Most of us don't give it its due respect. And most of us think our habit brain is a problem. And it's not a problem. It's operating at such a high, efficient, good level that we want to make sure that we know how to tap into it, rewire it, and get it functioning so that weight loss and eating on plan and wanting to be healthy and stuff becomes the easiest things we do. But you really have to work on the brain stuff. So we're going to do that. We will talk a little bit about how all of it starts, and then we're going to move into how your brain is motivated. What motivates the brain? What are the three key things that your brain currently is motivated by? And how do you switch it so that it's not motivated to cupcakes anymore? It's now motivated to sit at night without a cupcake and dream about your weight loss. Like, how do you switch all of that around? So we're going to talk about that. Then the last thing we're going to do is in the brain part is talk about how the brain actually works in terms of your thinking. So we will go through the think, feel, do cycle and how important that is, and how to, like, if you understand that what you think is how you feel and what you do, Then you can go through and you can pull apart all the places that you're think, feeling, and doing in ways that do not help you. And you can re-engineer your thinking into ways that you can think, feel, and do the exact things that you want to be doing to lose weight. So the next thing that we're going to go into is the four-step process to end your sabotage. Now, I've already been teaching this to all of my members, all of you guys. It's super simple, and I'm going to go ahead and lay it out. You got to be aware of the patterns, and you got to be aware of the thinking. That's it. That's it. Like, that's step one. The second step is, once you become aware of, here are the things that I do that are sabotage, here are the ways that I think that are sabotaging me, and I'll show you how to pull all that out. I can't judge the fuck out of it. You know what I have to do? I have to be bought in that this is how my brain is working. And now what I need to do is figure out how to re-engineer the things that I'm thinking to get it to work in a different way. So then you just roll straight into step three, which is we have to be redirecting and being deliberate on where we go. So I'm going to teach you the process of old thinking, trigger, new thinking. I have a three-step thing that we're going to go deep into during the workshop that will teach you all about that part, because you have to be able to. The thing I think that most people, what I see so many of you like get hammed up on, is you think that your old thinking is a problem. And that is a thought. So when we think, feel, do, when we think our old thinking is a problem, we feel broken or we feel frustrated, and then we don't do shit we need to do for ourselves. We do things like worry. We do things like quit. We do things like use excuses of why bother. So your old thinking is always going to come up first. Always. I still got old thinking 15 years later. So what we want to do is, rather than think it's a problem, we want to think it's a trigger. It's a trigger for a new behavior. It's a trigger for a new thought. So what we want to really think, oh, if you understand the old thinking is supposed to come along for the ride, relief and clarity automatically start clicking. And then you just have to set up the rest of the process, which is, so then what am I going to think? And then how am I going to act? And that's it. That's the four steps. So I will be going into each one of those super deep during the workshop. We're also going to talk about, how do you become limitless? And becoming limitless means we're going to dig into some, like, the most abused limiting beliefs women have. I am going to talk to you. Let me just read them to you. Let me know if any of these are you. I'll start tomorrow, next week, or at some magical time in the future. That is a limiting belief. That is self-sabotage. Dieting is hard. I'll lose weight if people will support me. Or I'll lose people if I lose weight. Somehow we're just losing. We're not doing anything but losing people. Or like, not getting supported. Like, we have to like clear up the thoughts we have around the peoples. I'm meant to be overweight. It's all genetic. I need to work on loving myself before I lose weight. As if those two things can't happen at the same time. And I don't want my family or job to suffer because I'm prioritizing me. Those are the most limiting beliefs that we have. Most of us have said them at some point in our life. And if you are believing any of it, you will sabotage your weight loss. Your brain will go to work on figuring out how to make sure all of that stays very true. By you eating shit you shouldn't be eating and doing things that, like, breaking promises to yourself and stuff. It will never matter how bad you want weight loss if those are not deconstructed. In the workshop, we're actually deconstructing every single one of them. You will have an opportunity to listen to the limit belief, listen to what it's doing, how to change it, and what to start thinking now. I will help you find ways to come up with how to act in response to it that's new, so that you are not just eating your face off because you keep believing that weight loss is hard. We're also going to do some work on missing out syndrome, which is another huge self-sabotage, which is, if I'm losing weight, I'm gonna miss out on life. My FOMO real, girl. We're gonna work on that too. So you're gonna have a worksheet that's gonna help you figure out how to debunk all of the missing out bullshit that we do. And then the fun part. We're gonna do success routines. You guys have been begging forever for me to like dive deeper into how, what the fuck is it that I do that's so great that sets me up for success. So we are going to talk about the new method for making sure that that old thinking now triggers new thinking and new things. So we're going to go through all of that stuff. And then I'm going to talk to you about making sure that you understand, what do success habits look like? I'm going to show you my success habits. I'm going to show you what my core habits are. I have the four basics that I do, which all of you know, if you listen to the podcast, if you're inside my membership, you know the four basics. Then the next thing is you're going to establish your core four habits, just like I have a core four habits that I operate on. You will get my morning routine. I will talk about my morning routine. You will see my morning routine. And then I'm going to give you a long list of potential success habits you can adopt. You'll lay out your own, and you'll do, in lifetime with me, a worksheet on establishing your habits, establishing your own morning routine. This is the key point too. You know how you guys will say, I really want to lose weight, but I don't want to do the actions. The whole second half of the workshop is about cultivating want, teaching yourself to want things. Want is not just something that we just have. Want is a skill we develop. Your brain is not literally, because you have a habit brain, its desire is to only want what you've been doing. It's not even set up to want new things without you purposefully making it happen. So we're going to make sure that we're doing a lot of very purposeful work of laying out the direct connections to your brain, to new actions where I'm not sabotaging, to here's how I want it. This is why I want it. This is the purpose. We're going to do a lot of that, all that work together. So you will do some work on making sure that all the things that you leave thinking about weight loss is exciting, worth it, desirable, easier than you ever thought, all the stuff that we dream of. The problem is we dream of weight loss being this way, but we don't go to work showing ourselves how to do it. And once you start basically brain hacking into motivation and momentum and ease and clarity and certainty and stuff, the things to do to lose weight become a no-brainer. You teach your brain how to start implementing those things, and you develop a relationship with your old self-sabotage habits that are not easy or comfortable or desirable. So we're going to basically shit all over your self-sabotage habits. Take a collective dump all over them. They will be so unattractive by the end of the day. Most of you have a very sexy story around them. A loving mother is not going to sit there and not have birthday cake on third cousin's birthday. We have these weird stories around it. We create this illusion that the things that we do that hold us back, that they serve a bigger purpose. They really they comfort us. That's how we take care of ourselves. We're just so lonely in the world. The only way that we can truly comfort ourselves is by doing these things. When you take a shit all over all those stories and you debunk them and you tell the truth, and then you sex up what you're going to do and you tie it to who you want to be and you really tap into those things, guess what? That shit seems a lot more appealing to get done. It's a lot easier to convince yourself to get it, to do it. The next big thing that we're going to do is I'm going to give you guys a ton of work on, like, when I think this, then I think this. Like, you will leave knowing your shit thought and your new thought. We're going to, like, when I think this, this is what I'm going to think now. Because you've got to be motivated. You're never going to be motivated hanging on to terrible stories about yourself. You're never going to be motivated by telling yourself old stuff that sucks. You have to be willing to continually go through the cycle of figuring out what am I thinking now and what do I want to be thinking all the time. I'm going to teach you how to practice it. A lot of you are like, well, I get it, but like, how do you practice this stuff? Like, how do you, like, we talked about it, but I don't know how to do it. I'm going to teach you practice habits. I'm going to teach you the strategies that I use. We're also going to talk about mistakes and how do you have Teflon proof, no quit skills? How do you like freaking mess up? Because part of weight loss is the mess up stuff. Guess what? Most of us self-sabotage because we think that when we pick a diet, it's supposed to fix all that. Like, we think there's something wrong with our weight loss program when we hit upon a mistake. That's a problem. Part of weight loss is figuring out how to run up against your natural tendencies to want to overeat and stuff, and then figure out how to stop doing that. Most of you can't find your problems until you run up on the mistake. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to do some work on worry and doing some worry breakdown. I'm going to teach you the four things you should never be thinking, saying, or doing. Like, if you think these things, here's what we got to do with that. So I'm going to clean up a lot of stuff. So that is what we're going to be covering all day. Like, you are going to walk in one woman and you're going to leave another. You will never be able to sabotage again without stopping first and thinking, shit, I don't think I'm supposed to be doing this. It is going to be so illuminated and so clear. It won't sneak up on you anymore. That's for damn sure. So no more like, I don't know why I keep doing it. There will be no more like, it seemed like it happened so fast. Shit won't be happening fast anymore. It'll be really slow. It will be really loud when it's coming up. You will know yourself very well. And you're going to have all the skills and all the tools to stop it and to do something different. This is a work day. This is a day where we like finally figure this shit out. So May 23rd, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central Time. And I can't wait. Okay. Let's see what questions you guys have. And it can be on anything, guys. I just wanted to make sure that we went over that really good so that you guys understand. And just so you guys know, one more time, all members get to come. You do not need to pay. We're going to send you everything that you're going to need to get registered on Wednesday. If you are not getting email, for all of you, if you are not getting the Massive Action Line every Sunday in your email, you have to email us at support@pnptribe.com. Here's why. You don't know what the fuck we're doing. A lot of you have unsubscribed by accident. And then y'all come in here and you're like, I'm so overwhelmed. Y'all seem to be doing stuff. And we ask you about your Massive Action Line. I haven't been getting email. Then email us. You know what I don't know? Who is not getting email? I have to assume you all get it. I wish that I could wave a magic wand and see on our list of members who's not getting email and who's not opening them. I cannot do that. What I can do, though, is every single week remind you, if you are not getting an email from us every single Sunday called the Massive Action Line newsletter that tells you every single thing that we are doing every single week, on top of, we give you weight loss strategies in it. We tell you shit to write about and do in there. You need to make sure that you email us at support@pnptribe.com so we can turn your email back on. Because a lot of you, here's what happens. Suddenly Gmail starts throwing you into the promotions tab. If you haven't said to all of your email providers, hey, I've moved you to the inbox. This is a, like, let this one through. If you don't tell your email to do it, eventually what happens is one day it just starts throwing it in junk mail for some reason, just starts throwing it in the trash. I can't control Gmail, can't control Hotmail, I can't control your whatever work environment you are. Like, I wish I could control on that end. I can't do that. All I can control is sending the shit out and telling you about it. So you need to make sure you've got it on the safe center. But what ends up happening is at some point it starts sending it somewhere. Then our email thing says, well, she ain't been opening. So it automatically says, purge. If you're not opening them, that's just the way these things are set up. We don't have a control feature on that one. So if you're not opening and reading things, email providers on both sides think you don't give a shit. You need to let us know that you do give a shit. So make sure that you're turning that stuff on. I had a good week and lost. I don't remember. After work yesterday, I was tired and decided in the moment that I should reward myself for my success with food. We're going to be doing that in next week's workshop, just let you know. That is a big time self-sabotage behavior. Of course, that led to a cascade of eating. No, it didn't. Let's just be real clear, Lisa, what happened. You're like, and of course that led to. No, this is the story you have to tell yourself. I got on the scale. My brain thought, let's reward ourselves. I didn't challenge that thought. That's like, let me tell you how I would do it. If I'm going back and looking at it, I'm going to look at it from, I want to solve this. So I would say, I got on the scale. I lost weight. My brain thought, let's reward ourselves. I didn't counter the thought. Next time, I'm going to need to counter the thought. Then I ate. And then what happened is each time I ate, I told myself this instead of thinking this. So that you're not telling the story as if it just magically happens. It's just so fast. My brain's just out of control. Look, the only way your brain's ever going to not run on repeat and auto is for you to slow it down. And the way you slow it down is you tell the story in such a way that's like, and this happened, and this happened, and here's an opportunity. Next time I'll need to say this. Here's what I didn't tell myself in that moment. Here's what I could tell myself in that moment. That's how I do it. That's how I get results. That's how I keep so much of my overeating nipped in the bud. Before it gets out of control. I'm always watching that shit and writing about it. And the second I notice I do something, I rewrite it how I want it to go down next time. I want my brain to, like, I'm pretty sure. Here we go. Of course, that led to this cascade of effort eating. Regret and guilt are expensive, and I self-sabotage. What better, want to better engage my conscious brain in the moment? Yeah, the way that you engage your conscious brain in the moment is you do like I do. The moment I notice that I do something that's not on plan, I retell the story in the way in which next time I want it to go. Otherwise, here's what your brain remembers. Exactly the way it went, and you replay it, and you regret it, and you shame yourself, and it gets really locked in as part of your identity. The very thing that you don't want to do, you start saying, like, I just have such a problem with weighing in. You know, like, when I have progress, it's a real problem because I always overeat. I want you to listen to what y'all say. A lot of you have this limiting belief that when you weigh in and have success, that you reward eat. That it's a problem. I'll say, like, okay, we'll stop doing that. But it's a problem. Like, I just notice that every time I lose weight, like, you know, I just sabotage myself. You're not going to work on telling a new story. All you're doing is locking your belief in. You can't afford to think that weight loss success is a problem. And a lot of you do that and don't even realize you're doing it. If weight loss success is a problem, your brain's going to start trying to figure out a way for you not to lose weight each week. Because it thinks, oh, well, if you don't want to have fuck it eats, let's fuck it ahead of time in a different way so we don't have to have that anymore. And then you just sabotage weight loss. So that's how I would handle it, Lisa. In the moment, how do we recognize the old thinking? To recognize old thinking in the moment, it means that outside of the moment, you have to be writing. Boring, boring, boring. Boom and boom. You need this and a pen. Every single day you need to be writing things I think. Here's my thoughts about food. Now, when y'all come through the full-on workshop, and if you do the self-sabotage course, all your stories about your food are in there. Guys, you got to know the things that you think. You can't just rely on catching them in the moment. Most of you are just, here's your most sabotaging thought. I'm so frustrated because I'm not hearing it in the moment. And then when I ask you, well, how many hours are you spending like away from those moments? Thinking about like what you think about, coming up on your obstacles, what words, phrases, what feelings do you usually come up with? You're like, none. A little. But what I really want is like for it to all be in my awareness and in my sights in the moment. Like, it's not going to be in your sights and in awareness in the moment when you're salivating. That is the worst time to be trying to figure out what you're thinking. Figure out what you're thinking on Sunday morning with a cup of coffee and a blank notebook. Ask yourself, all right, what were all my overeats this week? Let me go back through my planner. What do I remember? What kinds of conversations? What are the things I believe? Guys, there's nothing wrong with any of that stuff. The moment you don't think that those thoughts are shameful or broken or bad or whatever is the moment they all come to the surface. It's the exact moment they come to the surface. There's no threat to keeping them buried. The only threat is the one that you apply to them. These are bad. If you really think you have broken thoughts, bad thoughts, stupid thoughts, all that kind of stuff, guess what? You're not going to want to find stuff that defines you as broken, bad, or stupid. You will avoid journaling. Guess what journaling suddenly becomes? Hard. Guess what journaling suddenly becomes? Scary. Who wants to go journal if all you're going to do is find out all the ways you're fucked up? If that's the way you're defining it, that's some bullshit. Why do you think I love journaling? When I'm journaling, I'm always thinking about, I am finding the very things that are going to help me get to what I want. This is where I figure out my thinking so I can make weight loss, parenting, loving Chris easier for myself. Just how I look at it. It's how you could look at it. I was up 2.4 pounds this week, planned every day, drank the water, got all my sleep, had one off-plan eat on Sunday, had two overeats on Thursday, did my discovery worksheets. The rest of the week went well. I've been doing models since starting self-sabotage. I'm not sure if I ever had such a great week data-wise and had a gain other than keeping on going. So you had a great week, but you're thinking that the great week is going to equal weight loss. What will equal weight loss is no overeats. Like, guys, you can plan every day, but if you're planning and overeating, that's not going to necessarily equal weight loss. All that's going to equal is you becoming a consistent planner. That's a good thing, but like, we have to decide, like, what is the success here? The success is you tracked, you were honest, you did your stuff and everything. And it's like, so if you want the success part to actually be, I want to lose weight next week, what also has to happen? So I need to clean up my overeats. I ate off plan on Sunday and overate twice on Thursday. Like, just doing worksheets doesn't equal weight loss. Eating less and not overeating, that equals the weight loss part. Doing the worksheets, doing the planning, doing the journal sets up yourself to lose weight. That, I mean, I just want you guys to all think about it. A lot of times I think you think that like I guarantee you, I could make a plan every day this week. And my plan could be cheesecake for breakfast, nachos for lunch, two glasses of wine, and a burger at dinner. And I could sit there and eat two to two, follow the plan, and do all the things this week. I could sleep, drink my water, and junk. But realistically, tell me if I'm going to lose weight. lose weight. Now, when you're first starting, now if I had been, let me ask you this. If before that I was eating all of those foods, plus I was just like, well, I would have some cheesecake for breakfast, probably with a sidecar of chocolate sauce as much as I wanted drizzle over the top. And when I ate nachos, I usually eat them with like all the toppings plus extra chips. Throw me some extra queso on there. Like when you're first starting and you're making the realistic plan, in the beginning, you're getting really good at being consistent with showing up for yourself. The first steps of the consistent of the realistic plan is for you to plan the things you normally eat to engage your conscious brain so that you see what it is you're eating. And then you compare it to if you're losing weight. For some of us, just making a plan of the things we normally eat and just not eating them with abandonment gets weight off for a while. And then you come to a point to where you could be planning and doing all the things, but you're not really doing all the things. You're not challenging yourself. Like you're like, well, I'm still planning like a, you know, Wendy's for lunch and all this other stuff. I don't understand why I'm not losing weight. I'm following the plan every single day. It's like, okay, you're really committed. That's good. And you have a week's worth of data that says planning these foods doesn't equal weight loss. It equals being committed. It equals eating the things you like. So now, are you willing to look at the things you like and level up a little bit? What else are you willing to do? Can you leave off the queso on the chips this week? Could you switch out cheesecake in the morning for oatmeal or some cereal or something? Yeah, like think about like the spirit of everything that I teach you. I want you to be learning how to consciously plan. I want you questioning the things you plan. You know, a lot of you, when you first start, you are not ready to give up some of your foods. But once we start getting some consistency, once we start putting your goal in front of you more often than you just saying, fuck it. Once we start doing some of that, we're trying to cultivate in you the want and the desire to do a little more for yourself. I want to teach you how to want more for yourself than for you to want to check out of your life. So Sierra, what I would do is I would take a look at what you were doing and say like, okay, so if I want to lose weight next week, I need to keep all of this and I need to really dig into why I overate and ate off plan. And what is it going to take for me not to do that? I obviously wasn't an 8 or better. What's it going to take to be an 8 or better? And what is it going to take for me to want to like make this plan something that I know I can follow that also equals weight loss this week? What is that going to look like? That's how you avoid fuck it eating. Because here's what I do know. Had you not had a plan last week and you just ate whatever you wanted, how much more weight would you have gained? Tell yourself that. Probably even more. You probably would have been fucking it more often than just the two. I am tying goal weights to events coming up. Is this realistic, a good practice? For example, I want to lose 35 pounds by the Luke Bryan concert. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but I don't think it's sustainable. The problem is if that's the only reason why you're losing weight is the Luke Bryan concert, after the Luke Bryan concert, you won't have anything to motivate you. You can't just always find new events. So you need to figure out what are your other motivations. Why is it so important for you? Like what I would do is like, all right, so why is the Luke Bryan concert and this weight so important? And ask that two or three times. You could bring that to next week's workshop because we are going to do, I forget what it's called. It's a finding your why technique that I teach. It's called the why revelation technique. And we're going to do that next week. So I would dig in there. Otherwise, what happens is you run out of events and then you lose your motivation. That's why you have to be more internally motivated. Do I ever lose motivation? And what tools can you use to get it back? I do lose motivation all the time. And the tool I use is the model. That's all. Y'all have every tool that I use. There is not one thing that I do that I haven't taught y'all 100 times over. You know what I do to stay motivated? I think of motivation as not so much being motivated as being, because motivation really means that you're going to do things that you don't want to do in the moment. It doesn't mean you're excited and it doesn't mean you're feeling good. It doesn't mean you're in a wahoo mode all the time. Motivated means I will take action regardless of how I feel in the moment. So most of the time you're going to take, like half the time you're going to take action in moments when you don't feel like doing it, but you understand why you'll do it anyway. And you have things set up in such a way that in order to take that action, it's easy to do it. It's like it's easy to override not wanting to do it. So, for example, I like when it comes to doing my work every day, I set my calendar up in ways that I can override the desire to lay on my ass or to do something else or whatever. I tie like every single thing that I put on my calendar, I tell myself why this is so important. Like, this is going to do this. This is going to change this. Like, when I really understand what this impacts, it's so much easier for me to show up for it. Doesn't mean I see it and be like, oh boy, I can't wait to do it. Most of the time it's like, fuck, I don't want to start. And then I just think, no, it's really important. And I remember why it's important. We're going to do some of that next week too. But when you, the same thing with your meal plans, like Sierra, when you make your meal plans, guys, one of the things that I do when I do my daily food plans and stuff, I tell myself why it's important to follow it this way today. That helps. Why do you think we ask you about your compelling reasons and stuff so much? You need, like, if you're going to, let's say on your food plan, it's Friday night. Say it's Saturday night. Tonight's Saturday. Say it's Saturday night. And tonight is a night that you are not going to, let's say everybody's going to have drinks, but you're not. Like, you've decided, no, you know what? I really want to lose weight this week. Like, and that's going to happen by me not having drinks tonight. So if I was to plan zero drinks on my plan, then what I would do is I would write why it's so important for me to honor the plan today. And I would also tell myself why breaking that would be so harmful. The more you do a lot of why and purpose work around the actions, the more you stay motivated to do them. Because what happens is motivation is important in the moment in which you don't want to do. It does not mean you're going to feel like doing it, guys. There's a difference between, like, I may not feel like doing it, but I make it easy on myself to choose to do it. Self-discipline, what's the difference between motivation and self-discipline? They're very much the same. Motivation is more of a feeling of like it, you feel like doing it in the moment that you don't. So it's like, when I think about motivation, I think of it this way. When I feel motivated to do something, it's because I'm thinking of a reason why it's important. Then I feel motivated. Motivation sometimes can feel very grounded, and sometimes it can feel very exciting. That's why I like to pull it apart. Discipline is a decision. It's not a feeling. Now, it can be a feeling, but most of the time I like to think of discipline as a decision. And disciplined people are very routine people. They figure out how to create lots of routines. Routine leads to more discipline. So the more you can figure out how to create really good routines for yourself in life, and your brain is designed for routine. I don't care what you tell me. Every single one of you are routine as fuck. That's just how the brain works. Now, you may think you're not, but I guarantee you, like, let's say you're a slob. You probably pile your clothes up the same way all the time, either in the floor or on a chair. Like, you tend to throw them in one direction. We do a lot of routine shit. Think about when you shower. Do you just, like, get in the shower and say, like, I don't know what I'm doing today. Is it ass first or face first? No, you probably get in there and you wash up the same way every single time. Next time you brush your teeth, see what side of the mouth you start on. Or are you just like, front or back today? What are we doing? I'm a spontaneous kind of girl. We all do that. And so it's like really like discipline is one of those things where it is a decision that you make over and over and over again. That's it. So I always think about when it comes to being self-disciplined, the best way to be a very self-disciplined person is to figure out easy routines that work for you. Now, at the end of next week's workshop, we're going to go into minimum baselines and a whole big thing on setting up your minimum baselines and how to trigger the ease and all that kind of stuff. I just weighed myself and gained again. I just want to cry. My first thought is fuck it and give up. No, right? Like, let me just ask you, like, just because that's your first thought doesn't mean that that needs to be the one you hang on to, Julie. I mean, every one of you, for fuck's sake, will you just think about this? My first thought is to say, fuck it. Well, of course. But is that the one you want to hang on to? I mean, you need to question, like, I've been hungry all fucking week. What am I doing wrong? I don't know. List your damn foods out. Like, let me just tell you. The biggest problem, I had a really strong week. Okay, well, tell me everything you did. Just because the scale went up doesn't debunk the strong week. You get to believe it was a strong week. But when you get out of like whining about what happened on the scale, you probably can list everything out and figure out what you need to do. So let's see. Type it out. I want to see. What did you eat? You said, I'm hungry all fucking week. How hungry? How many times are we talking breakfast, lunch, and dinner? How many times a day did you eat? What kind of foods were you eating? Like, just start typing. I've got a couple more. By the time we get to it, you'll give me all kinds of information. What's the best thing to eat before a 10K? I'm doing my first one, the DSB. Lord, if you ain't been eating before, whatever you've been eating is what you need to eat now. Okay? So don't change up. But if you have, like, if you do need to eat something and you haven't been eating anything, at best, just do a banana and some water. I wouldn't eat too much though. Otherwise you run the risk of like getting an upset tummy. So, but usually what we want to do is we always want to do whatever we've been doing all the way up until this point. So whatever you did in training, it will work for the 10K. Where I get stuck is not thinking that weight loss is hard or that I can't do it. I struggle with the belief that I deserve to lose weight. I have trouble thinking that I'm worthy of good things, including weight loss or becoming a better version of myself. Okay, well, you're really aware of your doo-doo habit thoughts. But all of you, just because you have them, so what? Like I really struggle with this thought. Stop struggling with it. It's not a problem. You know what the problem is? I have a thought, weight loss is hard. You know what my next thought is? It's such a struggle. Wrong. I think weight loss is hard. You know what should trigger? Here's some ways it's not. Here's how I'm making it easier on myself. I'm open to believing. And I also think I'm open to believing it's not as hard as I tell myself all the time. Guys, the 4-step process is in your workbook. Go read it. Number one. I list out thoughts like that. Number two, no judgment. You're breaking rule number two, Courtney. This is why you can't get off the blocks. Step two is no judgment. But when you say, I struggle with it, that's called a judgment thought. We're supposed to skip step two. Like, we're supposed to move to step three. So, let's see. Weight loss is hard. I can't do it. But I also am working on creating new habits. But I also know it can be easier than I've always told myself. I'm also going to think that I'm unlearning my old thoughts around it. That's the process, remember? I don't give a shit how many times you think you're old stuff, and you shouldn't either. None of you. None of you. It is irrelevant how often you think it. Do you know what's relevant? How many times you redirect your brain. Every old thought is the trigger to retrain your brain to think better things. That's all we're doing. You're going to get hundreds and hundreds of opportunities every day to reconstruct who you are. Or you're going to get hundreds and hundreds of ways to throw yourself under the bus every single day. Decide, are you going to throw yourself under the bus or are you going to rebuild the person you are? Both are going to take an equal amount of time because I guarantee you this, you know the old thinking? It's going to come up the same amount of times no matter what plan B is. So y'all get cozy with it. It's here to stay. It's going nowhere. And this whole I'm worthy of good things, guess what? I was one of the most worthless feeling people who ever walked the face of the earth. You know what I did? Taught myself how to feel worthy. I didn't just sit around and bitch about it. When I quit bitching about it and I went to work on telling myself every day, here's why you're so worthy. Here's why you're good enough. I made it my job to write about the good things I'm doing. Let me ask my friend Jane. She always reminds, she can always tell when I'm starting to get disconnected from telling myself, like reminding myself of the things I'm doing, the good things and stuff, because I get so focused on what's next, what's next. She'll say like, hey, don't forget, I want you to like, you can, she always says, you can do this if you want to. Like, you know, this is optional homework, but, and I'm like, ain't no optional about that. She wants me to do this. But I almost always take her advice because if she's pointing it out to me, I know I need to do it. And she's like, just take a minute to write about like how you did it right. Take a minute to write about what's going right, what you've learned, like your accomplishments, like give yourself that opportunity to experience the pride. That is how you figure out self-worth. Self-worth doesn't just happen. You don't just like click your heels and suddenly feel worthy. We ain't, you know, Dorothy and the ruby slippers around here. We're going to have to get to work and build our shit. So you need to make sure that you're like, if I want to be worthy of good things, I got to be like a defense attorney and I got to go to work on defending myself against me. You were prosecution and a defender. Well, now you're always prosecuting yourself. Now you need to like go to the defense and say like, no, you know, here's why I'm worthy of all this. Boom, boom, and boom. And one of them gets to be because I just want it. That's what happens. I see Julie is doing her things. Hang on just a second. Well, somebody, I tell you what, y'all paste that inside here and then I'll read it because I'm not going to be reading on my phone. I am feeling physically better. I am working hard, thinking better thoughts. Then I get dressed, look in the mirror and think, oh my God, you look horrible. Help. Okay, Peggy, you don't need my help. You need to look in the mirror and when you think, oh my God, I look horrible, but I'm also open to believing this. Insert. Step one of the process. Notice the things you think, you're doing a great job on that. Step two, don't judge that you have thoughts about your body. Step three, insert new body thought. Step four, someone who thinks that new thought, what do they do next? Probably just walk away from the mirror and push aside any other thoughts for the rest of the day. They walk away from the mirror and for the rest of the day, they remind themselves, you know what? We're not tearing our body up anymore. Did we forget we don't tear our body up anymore? The only time we get to think about our bodies when we look in the mirror first thing in the morning and we train ourselves on what we're gonna start believing about it. We're gonna level up our thinking around our body. The rest of the day, we remind ourselves, you know what? It's not time to obsess over our bodies. The other day on a Facebook Live, you mentioned wearing Lulu pants. Are you referring to Lululemon? Yes. What style? I don't know the name of the style, to be honest, but they're like a long pant, and they also have a cargo pant, and they kind of have like a little subtle stripe in them, like it's kind of a gradient color, but I don't know. They may be called city pants, but I'm not 100% sure. If you go to Lulu's site, though, they have them. They're a very popular style. They've had them for years. I keep forgetting my new thoughts and keep going back to old thoughts and journal daily about that. Will I eventually upgrade my thoughts that way? Or am I building a habit of just journaling? No, you just have to keep doing the process. One of the things that you could do is you could make your next thought for your old thoughts much simpler. So just like when you catch the thought, you could just tell yourself, and I'm working on that thought. And that's something that I'm no longer believing. Or, and that's something I write a new thought about every single day because this one's not true. You could make it something super simple like that. And then each day when you're writing your new thoughts, just write more about your new thoughts, all the things you want to believe, how you're finding proof for it in your life. Where's all the evidence that this stuff is starting to come true? And you do a lot of that. Your brain eventually will let go of some of the other stuff. Is it normal to gain some weight when you start drinking a gallon of water a day? I got a new water bottle. Her name is Bawana. She is a big old gal, but man, oh man, I'm bloated. Yeah, I mean, like, give it a few days for that. I've lost 41 pounds since January and have now been having a hard time finding my 2 to 2. I've been working on reevaluating my hunger scale, but feel like my clues and signals have changed. Is that normal? Yeah, your signals and clues can change, especially if you're changing some of the foods that you're eating. Sometimes if you eat more fat or your proteins, like if you start adding in more healthy foods versus processed foods, you'll notice some of your hunger cues will change. Sierra, I would like to, oh my God, Sierra, I was actually talking about you the other day with someone. I was talking about just how beautiful you are. Just had to throw this out there. I would like to add that I have been leveling up food for months. This week's food included lots of whole foods, around 80% of what I ate. I maintained last week's loss until Thursday morning when the scale was up 2 pounds. Okay, I still would just do the process though of like, if you really think that this week, like nothing needs to change other than the overeats and stuff, I would just put all my focus there. And that's probably where I would start. It's like, all right, how am I going to get this week to where I don't need an off-plan eat and I don't need an overeat? Just get really focused on those. Like, what was the driver there? What was the focus? And then I want you to spend some time really rewarding yourself on your behavior changes and doing some real good writing on the behavior changes you're making and how they're worth it and that the scale will catch up eventually, that you are doing all the right things. That will give you some peace of mind rather than just waiting for the scale to drop every single week to prove you're doing the right things. You can't, none of you cannot rely on the scale to prove to yourself that you're doing the right things, because there are going to be weeks that your hormones are going to play into effect. You change some of your foods and maybe you don't poop as much. There's just going to be things that are going to happen, guys. So you want to make sure that what you do is that you spend some time tying how the actions are really important. All right, here's Julie's food. Let me take a look, Julie. Breakfast is eggs, toast, and bacon. Tried going down to one each, but it didn't sustain me longer than 2 or 3 hours. Chicken salad sandwich, stopped eating chips and started having strawberries, left 2 to 4 bites behind. Dinners, chicken and veggies made different ways, meatball sliders. I don't know what a cat is. 2 or 3, no snacks. By Thursday, I was so hungry, needed a break. I had a muffin for breakfast, Wendy's for lunch, pizzas. And okay, that's why you gained weight. Okay, this is not, if like, what do you mean I needed a break? This is the problem, Julie. You're telling yourself that all this other way that you're eating must be depriving. Because if you need a break, if you need to emotionally get away from chasing your dreams, if you need to emotionally get away from eating in ways that you're choosing in order for you to lose weight, that's where the self-sabotage is happening. The way you're thinking about your breakfast, your lunch, and your dinner is setting you up to fucking binge on Wednesday or Thursday. I was so hungry, I needed a break. Let me just tell you, eating what you ate, like, here's hunger. Go to Ethiopia. Visit someone who lives on the street who ain't ate in 3 days. Let's compare your hunger to their hunger. You have got to rectify your brain, because your brain is tying that hunger is somehow bad. Hunger is somehow depriving and stuff. It's like, I'm getting hungry. Guess what? If I don't like the level of hunger I'm at, probably should eat a little bit more. If you were having a normal conversation like that and evaluating and tweaking, guess what Thursday is? Not an all-out face-down binge day of needing a break. The only reason why you needed a break is because you emotionally wore yourself out Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday on how you talked to yourself around what you were doing. I guarantee you, if you will spend some time writing out the conversations, the stories you tell yourself around all of it, you're going to see how you're emotionally wearing yourself out, how much emotional suffering you're causing yourself on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And yeah, by Thursday, you need a break. Not from the food. You need a break from Julie. And you know what the food is? A good way to go on vacation from Julie. Because Julie's not very nice to herself. Julie doesn't sit there and tell herself about how she's figuring her shit out. Julie's not sitting there talking, like telling herself so much on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, how she is truly figuring out how to lose weight for the last time. How she's eating new foods because she is so ready to put all this to bed. And that she wants to learn how to live where food never emotionally wears her out ever again. You have that kind of conversation by Thursday, you don't need a vacation from yourself at all. If you're extra hungry, guess what you do? Add another egg. But if all you tell yourself about your foods is how depriving they are, how you have to do them, how like you wish you didn't have to eat like this, but you just will. When you have those kinds of conversations, yeah, you're going to need to get away from yourself all the time. It's a subtle form of abusing yourself. Nobody's making you lose weight, not even Julie. You're choosing all of it. If I'm going to choose to go after my dreams, I'm going to talk to myself really nicely about it. And I'm going to constantly be figuring it out. And if I notice that by Thursday that I've been extremely hungry, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to add an egg and a piece of bacon and tell myself, I'm going to add a little more food today to see what happens. Because I'm testing and tweaking all of it because I am going to lose weight. I never need to escape myself ever again because I got my own back. And every time I try to throw myself under the bus, and every time I try to throw up my old thinking and stuff, I just remind myself, I'm in it with you. And figuring it out. That's how you have conversations with yourself. Yeah, you don't have to be perfect and hungry all the time and miserable to have success. That's one way to do it. But you're not even being perfect or miserable all the time. You know what you're doing? You're self-inflicting misery and perfection and then fucking it up due to that. You know what success is going to come from? When you quit trying to run away from yourself. Learn how to talk better to yourself. That's like, guys, that's the secret to all of it. I just want you to own how you set yourself up on Thursday to eat all the food. Because on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, you tried to make yourself do things. I don't think you should change the foods. I think you should change how you talk to yourself while you're figuring out the foods you're going to eat. So that you don't need to eat 2 or 3 days worth of food on Thursday just to turn the conversation you're having with yourself off. That's what most of us do. The food that we're choosing, the hunger we're experiencing, that's not the hard part. The conversation we have around it and what it means, and if you're telling yourself Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I've got to be perfect and miserable in order to lose weight, guess what you'll do? You'll try to be miserable Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday until you break, rather than noticing by Tuesday, I'm really hungry. I might need to eat a little bit more. You won't add more food. You know why? You'll be too scared to. Because if you're not miserable, you're not doing it. And the funny thing is when we talk about like we have to be miserable to lose weight, we create it in two ways. We create the misery of the food that we choose and the misery story and everything. And then we will binge to get away from ourselves and we will compile misery. We will attach the binging and we will attach all of that to the misery of weight loss. It's just time to start a new story. So I would just start eating those 3 days again And then ask yourself this time, if I was going to do it from love, what would I change? If I was actually going to like weight loss, even if you can't even get to like, just say like, all right, if right now I think I have to be miserable to lose weight, if I was just going to do it in a way that I felt like it was doable, what would that look? What's the difference between what I've been doing and what I'm doing now, what I'm going to do, and what's the difference in the way I talk to myself then versus the way I'm going to talk to myself now? Let's see if that helps. What do you recommend for helping with loose skin? Collagen, lotion? You can try all that stuff. I don't feel awful about it, but I want to be proactive and do what I can to help my skin. Water, strength training. You could use collagen if you want to, like in smoothies and oatmeal, in coffee, all those things. Lotioning for sure. A lot of like scrubbing of your skin, but that's probably only going to make a 10 to 20% difference. I will just tell you guys, the best cure for loose skin is to accept it. I just tell myself all the time, it is ridiculous of me to ever think that that loose skin is a problem. You know what I always tell myself? You know what a problem was? The day I couldn't play with my son because I was too overweight. That's a real problem. I always remind myself what the real problems are. Like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you guys that I sit there and go like, oh my God, sexy beast all the time when I look at loose skin. That's, you know, like I've never had loose skin on my arms. I'm now starting to have loose skin between just time and age plus what loose skin I had. I just remind myself what, like, I would take this loose skin any day of the week for all the lessons that I have learned. I do not feel controlled by food anymore. I can wear the clothes I want to wear. Like, even if I don't look how I always wanted to look in a bikini, I wear one. There's just so much. I love that I'm the kind of mom that actually wants to go walk with my son every day, rather than being too tired because I'm like not used to walking and afraid I couldn't keep up. That was where I was back in the day. And I think about those things. All right. I would like to say congratulations to my buddy, Kara. She is always she's one of my favorite race stories of all time. I've actually done a podcast 2 years in a row talking about Kara because she for me is like the most memorable finish line race moments. If you haven't, go back and listen to the two podcasts we've done when we recapped Don't Stop Believing for the podcast, because I talk about her in both videos. So, all right, guys, that's it for today. Y'all have a good one. And I will see everybody. Let me see. When do I see you guys again? It will not be this Sunday. Don't forget, I'm not coaching tomorrow because I am doing Don't Stop Believing. They got their workshop tomorrow, plus the people who came and worked with me for the 6 day, their graduation is tomorrow. We have business coaching on Monday night. So I will see everyone on Monday night. So if you have work or business things that you want to get coached on, Monday night's a good time, 5 p.m. Central. I'll see you guys later. Bye, y'all.